At Giant Eagle, we believe in better. And that includes finding more ways to help you save. Because finding a good deal is everyone's deal. Because every dollar and every moment counts. On sale this season at Giant Eagle, you'll find lower prices on hundreds of favorites, like seedless grapes, ground beef, Giant Eagle American cheese, and more. Giant Eagle, because it matters. Limited time only through September 9, 2026. Prices and participation may vary. See store for details.
Welcome back to Evolution of a Snake. I'm Zach.
And I am Madeline.
And today we are revisiting a little album called Lover. 7 years after its release, it will have just gone the Lover anniversary, Loverversary, Well It's Jover, etc., all the things. And we recently did an episode revisiting Folklore where we almost definitively decided that it is her best work. And that inspired us to revisit Lover. And what's funny about Lover, for us at least, is that we are accidentally the Lover podcast.
No, we are. Every time this comes up, it's really funny. So we started during the Lover era. Our first live show was Lover Live. We're the Lover podcast.
There's more to it than that. I just can't remember it right now.
No, I can't remember.
But there's more to it.
We've gone over Lover a lot. I think one of our longest, maybe 2016 was as long, but 2019 is three parts, our yearly episodes, which is pretty long. That's a long time to be talking about one era. It'll have nothing on 2023. I will tell you that for free. But nonetheless.
I dread.
Lover is a topic. She comes up a lot on Evolution of a Snake, which is really funny. But I feel like she comes up a lot worldwide. I kind of think she's a global discussion. I think people want to talk about Lover globally. I think she is the locals album. And I don't say that in a negative connotation at all. I just mean, if you were to ask, you know, a local, a normal person, what's your favorite Taylor Swift pop album? They would probably say Lover.
Well, I was looking at the stats and it is, so sales wise, it didn't do that well, like physical sales. But in terms of equivalent album sales, so streams and everything, it's usually in her top three to top five albums, like pretty much consistently. And that is a big surprise. If you told 2019 me, Swifty me, and Swifty Madeline that Lover would go on to be one of Taylor's most popular albums, I think we would have said, you're crazy and you're cooking with meth. The way that we received Lover, it wasn't as bad as Showgirl, but it was in that vein, at least the rollout. When the album came, we settled down and we started rocking and living our lives again. But in the lead up to it, it was a capsize. We were capsizing every day. It was scary. And that is the Lover experience. What is interesting about Lover and what makes it very singular in Taylor's discography is that it's had a resurgence and a reappreciation that no other Taylor Swift album has had. Like, you can say that Reputation was misunderstood when it came out and blah, 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 but Lover was looked over and it basically had a second era with the Eras Tour. Taylor channeled a lot of energy into making sure that Lover was like one of the highlights of the show. And Cruel Summer is now her signature song. It's her most streamed song by a country mile. And that is from the Lover era, as it should be. Some of us were saying Justice for Cruel Summer for years.
Yeah, I definitely thought we were never going to get a Cruel Summer live performance. I was like, it's over. Pack it up. Like, we had our chance and it just was over.
It felt like such a crime.
I remember everybody was saying in 2020, in the summer of 2020, when it was like lockdown and quarantine and all that, she couldn't release Cruel Summer as a single. That was like the popular adage at the time, because it starts with Fever Dream. It's not funny. I said it would have been poor taste. And it would have been.
The rumor was that Cruel Summer was going to be a single for that summer of 2020 when she was doing all of her Glastonbury and all those festival shows, which does actually track to me, but Taylor has never said it. And if that's the case, then that means there was a music video planned or there was an idea for a music video somewhere. And to that I say, show me the fucking tapes.
Does that sound like something you want? Well, you're never going to get it. It would be bad.
If she had made it in that period of time, it would have been bad. All the music videos were bad.
Yeah, I think Lover suffered the most from its branding, and that ties into the music video aspect of it. Although I will say I like the Lover music video. There, I said it.
Lover music video is good. But the other ones are so bad that it kind of doesn't help its case, I would say. But in general, this was Lover was a big deal in 2019 because it was Taylor's first album for Republic and Universal after leaving Big Machine. She was owning her records again. It was her first album that was not released in the fall, our first summer Taylor album. So that was an interesting digression for us. The Swifties descended on New York City and acted insane in ways we haven't seen since they tried to act insane in Midnights and Taylor said, I'm not doing anything. They were all out of school. They were jobless. It's time to do cartwheels on Cornelia Street.
That's why you released in September, October, because everybody's back to school and you have homework to do. You have a part-time job. But releasing in late August, they had way too much free time on their hands.
Way too much free time.
That was one of the times I think I was most embarrassed to be a Swiftie. Not necessarily about Lover, but about the fan behavior. That was really embarrassing to me. People were fighting in the Good Morning America line, like all kinds of shit. It was really
They were
bad.
Getting Targets shut down for overrunning them, for imaginary Taylor Swift appearances that never happened. Like it was embarrassing. And I was in New York at this time. This was my first time ever being in New York during a release week. And I didn't participate in anything. I didn't go to the pop-up. I didn't do a damn thing. Because at that point, I was like, I can't.
I can't be seen here. I can't go to the Stella McCartney, Taylor Swift pop-up.
I shan't.
And
I
buy a $75 water bottle that's going to be on Depop or whatever the hell in 15 minutes because I don't want it. And it's ugly. I can't.
And I didn't have the money, too. I was master student. Girl, I was broke. And I was like, if I'm going to go into debt for some Taylor Swift shit, it's not this. It's certainly
it ain't this.
Not this.
It ain't this. It was really bad. Stella McCartney times Taylor, hands down her worst collaboration.
Hands down her worst collaboration. This was her first album when it came out since Red that did not have a number one hit. The embarrassing, humiliating behaviors that she did with me to try and get it to number one, the tactics that were done in that release week, like it was really giving, bad. It was like when Justin Bieber was like screaming at his fans on live and begging them to stream Yummy. It was that.
Well, also fans were coming up with like fake Starbucks promotionals. Do you remember that?
Yes.
Stream me and get this coupon for a free unicorn frappuccino. Didn't happen. Wasn't real.
Lover behavior.
Lover behavior.
To be fair, that was the summer of Old Town Road. It was blocking everything. But also a really good Taylor Swift single probably could have dethroned that had she like done it correctly. But instead, not only are you forcing it through, everybody fucking hates it. Everybody hated me. Like, as soon as it came out, everybody went, that's terrible. And also, we're moving on. It's not even like with Cat's Eye where there was, like, so much content about how bad it was. Everybody went, what the fuck is this? And they moved on. Then You Need to Calm Down came out. Also peaked at number two. Couldn't get a number one with that. There was the Equality Act. And that incurred a lot of conversation about activism, et cetera, that was a conversation Taylor was sort of not really equipped to have. Then we had Lover and the Man. And by that point, people were tired. They were beleaguered with the Lover era. It wasn't clicking. It wasn't hitting. It was critically, I would say, well received. It's so insane the way that development, like, this is Tay Positivity. Pitchfork decided to release all of their reviews of Taylor albums with Lover. So everybody was being very nice to her at this period of time. After Reputation, I guess they felt bad or whatever. But it's so insane to me that Lover got like a 7 on Pitchfork and Torture Poets got like a 6.6 or whatever it did. Any point lower than Lover is just absolutely crazy. But it just shows you that reviews really are a snapshot of the time. They're not really like an actual assessment of the quality of the album.
And there's a couple of, you know, recently released albums that you could make that comment about. There's a couple, but I'm silent and I won't say who. You'll have to guess.
You'll have to guess.
You'll have to guess.
It also was the first album of hers that did not crack a million sales in the first week. It did 800K, which, by the way, was the largest album release week of that year and the largest since Reputation, so for 2 years. So even though it was like a flop by Taylor standards, it was not a flop by any stretch of the imagination. It was still a very successful album. And
but you had Taylor fans thinking it was such a flop, they had to tell lies and say it sold 2 million copies in 24 hours. So they could backflip around in front of Cornelia
Street.
That. Tyler, roll the tape.
Roll the clip.
Lover sold 2 million copies in 24 hours. We did that.
Yes, Lover.
Did they release that? I forgot that the video starts with Lover sold 2 million copies.
Yeah, it starts with a heinous lie. That didn't happen, babes. That's never happened. That's never happened to anyone.
Did in 24 hours, Showgirl? No. It could have. If you told me it did, I'd be like, sure, okay, why the fuck not? Yeah,
what? That at album this point,
continues to defy reality.
Showgirl backflipped off a mountain and landed in the top 10 for 2,000 weeks. And I would say, yeah, I bet it did.
At this point, Life of a Showgirl won album of the year at the 2027, 28, 29 Grammys. Yeah.
It already won. Of course. Of course it did. Thank you so much.
Album of the century.
Congratulations to Showgirl.
Glad that we came to that conclusion.
I could not be more excited that summer is finally coming to an end and the colder months are just a couple of weeks away. With the cold coming in, it's never too early to get prepared for cozy season. And my personal recommendation to make those cozy days of fall even cozier is a sponsor of today's video, Lola Blankets.
And luckily for you, for a limited time, our listeners can get 40% off select Lola Blanket products by using our code SNAKE at checkout. These are truly the best blankets for the fall season, or as we like to call it on Evolution of a Snake, red and evermore sneezing. There's a huge selection of colors and sizes to choose from, so you can perfectly match and elevate the vibe in your home. Whether you want something bright and colorful, or if you're looking for something a little bit more neutral, Lola has it all.
I've had both of my Lolas for months now, and they still feel just as soft and stretchy as when I first got them. My medium-sized stormy gray Lola is my absolute favorite blanket for nap time, watching movies on the couch, or cuddling with the cat.
So, again, if you're looking for something to upgrade your cozy fall self-care routine, head to lolablankets.com and use code SNAKE for 40% off your next blanket or pillow. After your purchase, they'll ask where you heard about them from. Please support our show and let them know that we sent you. Wrap yourself in luxury with Lola Blankets. So we did our usual. We went through each song. We rated it out of 10, and we picked our favorite line. Let's start at a very weird fucking place. This is her weirdest album opener ever. I'm going to say it. This is the weirdest album opener she's ever selected. I Forgot That You Existed. I had a brief renaissance with I Forgot That You Existed this summer. I don't know why. I was in D.C. Little did I know the horrors that were about to await me in D.C. again.
It's
trying to be positive.
Ironic that you had a renaissance with the song called I Forgot That You Existed. There's something to that. That was in D.C. of this year.
Yes, I remembered I Forgot That You Existed.
when they were having the, what was it? It was like cop week in D.C. or something.
Oh my
like
God,
that.
Police week. It was literally police week.
And they were everywhere.
That we were in for nonsense. D.C. Yeah, is a cursed place for the Evolution of Snake.
No, it is.
Production. Nothing good can ever happen there. And my spidey senses were off, clearly, because I was listening to I Forgot That You Existed and going, wow, this rocks.
Yeah, this is so good. That's crazy. I forgot about that. I didn't know that was in D.C. Well, that makes sense somehow. It's very D.C. coded. There's something political about it. I can't explain how, but it's very like AOC streams this. You know what I mean?
Oh my God, she does. This is AOC's album. Low-key, yeah. This is AOC's album. This is Taylor's political awakening. This is her manifesto. Okay, so this song, it has kind of like a hopscotch melody to it, which is fine, but it's so underproduced. And again, she's doing that thing, and I love it when she does this because she has no idea, where she's like, I forgot that you existed. Here's a song reiterating everything I've already said about how you're a flop and I survived because I'm queen.
No, she loves to do that.
I forgot.
That's her favorite thing to do. That's her favorite thing to do is say, I don't even care. Like, I'm actually romantic. I don't even care. I don't even think about you.
But another thing.
Well, I think when you put the song on the album, I think we can all agree you're thinking a little bit. My problem with I Forgot That You Existed, I gave it a 3 out of 10, which I thought was generous. You know what I'm saying? I thought I was being very, you know, there's something Mother Teresa about that.
Yep.
I think this is her worst opening track of all time. And what really makes me mad is that, like, as a B-side or as a song on a deluxe album, I wouldn't even mind it because it has like a meaning. It has a message. It's cute.
It's kind of fun.
But it cannot be, whether it's on Lover, whether it's on Reputation. This is not an opening track. It can't be. And that's why I don't like it. It's not even in my list of my least favorite Taylor songs of all time. I truly think it's mid. That's my issue with it. And like mid is fine at track, I don't know, 9. Number one. No.
Louis Bell, producer, never heard from again. The production credits on this record are interesting. There were a lot of randomista people I forgot about. I think also, what is the point of going through this extensive rebrand where you're essentially appealing to children's music to make it seem like you're not embittered and like annoyed and grudge-holding anymore to then start with this song? I'm like, do you even understand how you're coming across when you say these things?
It isn't love, it isn't hate, it's just indifference.
Really?
You know what pisses me off? PMO?
Really?
PMO, if since we're going to say, oh, it doesn't piss me off that bad, one thing does PMO, in my feelings more than Drake, so yeah. That's like a...
I picked that as blood. My favorite line because it's so stupid. I'm like, it's so dumb. It's such a Taylorism.
No, I'm hearing you. I'm hearing
and
you.
And the way that she says it is so petulant. And then she goes, so, into, yeah. Your name on my lips, tongue-tied. It's so funny.
You know, this is why I gave her 3 points. Because there's something to her. There's mm-hmm. something to her. So for me, my favorite part of the song... I really like the second verse. I like when she says, got out some popcorn and watched as my rep started going down. There's something really satisfying about the way that it's
the
written.
Melody, the melody
is it's good. Like, the melody is good, okay? Let's open the case. This is why I gave her 3 points. She has a good melody. She's making points. I like how we're getting Carly. I like how we're getting all the flops all around her. It could be about Calvin, too. We don't know.
So you literally close your eyes and it's like flop summit in front of you.
So another least favorite part that I don't like is I don't like the bridge. Taught me some hard lessons.
No, that's like, very long story short. Long story short is the better version of I Forgot That You Existed.
Oh, I love that. That's so true. And even long story short is kind of like, okay.
Exactly. They're not stunners. These aren't stunners. No. But the album opener should be a stunner, babe. We should be stunned. Welcome to New York and Ready For It to I Forgot That You Existed. Flop. Actually, the bookends for this album are horrible.
Horrible. Horrible.
Terrible. Horrible. I gave it a 5 out of 10. 5 out of 10 because I had a renaissance. I had a renaissance.
Well, there's something to her.
And when I listen to it, I go like this.
You still. There is. It's very like. Snapping my
fingers. No, you're playing hopscotch. It's like.
AOC. You know she's in chambers. With her headphones on, going, in my feelings more than Drake, so yeah. Yeah.
It's like, period. People get so upset when we like make fun of cringe, earnest, millennial Taylor. I love that. It's so funny to me. But I will say it's funnier in hindsight than it is when it's happening.
No, I didn't laugh the day this present. Came out. I was really quiet. Mm-mm. I was really, because I forgot that you existed is a great title for what?
Yes, it is. And I heard... It was, again, because it's the first thing that you hear from the album, it's not like we, the Swifties, were in a place of great positivity and hand heart when the album actually finally came out. So for this to be the first thing, I wasn't feeling inspired. Thankfully, however, thanks be to God that the following song to come up was Cruel Summer. I remember where I was. I was on my friend's rooftop in New York City. It was so hot, disgustingly hot, but I was like, I have to be outside when I listen to this album. It's a summer album. It's like 11 a.m. I had a coffee, and Cruel Summer turned on, and I lost my goddamn mind. It is the greatest song ever made, and why it wasn't even considered to be a pre-release single baffles me to this day. How didn't she see the flop reception to me, and you need to calm down and go, actually, I have something good. Let me give you something good.
You know, it's funny because this is back in the day. This is actually the last album I think I did this with where I would reshuffle it on my first listen.
You that was were crazy. So demented for doing
that. No,
that
was really, really strange.
And it was diminishing returns every time. You never got what you wanted from
No, I always thought I could, like, figure it out. You know what I mean? Like, before it came out. It's so strange. When people ask me, why did you do that? I don't have an answer. I guess because I just couldn't stand the thought of being told how to listen to it by her. I was like, no, I know the right way to listen to it. I know based on the song titles alone. I have an intuition. I was always wrong, always wrong, always wrong. So I didn't hear the second.
To be fair,
I don't know when I heard this. Cruel Summer was towards the end. So I had a really different listening experience. And I keep thinking, or I've thought many times, like, if I'd only heard this song second as God intended, I might have had a completely different listening experience with the album in general that first time. As it was.
I remember Madeline's reaction to Lover, like, it's on the back of my brain. It's also highlighted on her Instagram stories if you would like to go
watch
it.
You can watch it whenever you want.
But I remember because you had rearranged it in such a way, you were completely fucking gagged by Miss Americana. Like, it was like the best song you'd ever heard in your entire life. And then you walked to Cruel Summer. And then it was like, okay, now.
Yeah, see, now we're starting to eat. Now we're starting to have a meal, because I was starting to get scared. Like, there wasn't going to be a main course on the album. Like, wait, I'm going hungry. All I have is a biscuit so far. So Cruel Summer really, yeah, thankfully it saved the day. People are saying it's one of the greatest pop songs ever made. Many people are saying this. And I actually really can't imagine being so fucking miserable and so full of hatred that you could possibly ever deny that this is one of the greatest pop songs, at least of the last 20 years. Oh, they try all the time. What's it like to be so miserable and unhappy all the time? Tell me. I'm interested.
3 billion of my streams would disagree. This is, to me, her perfect pop song. Like, she'd been working at that specific craft for a really long time. Her and Jack arrived at, like, the perfect expression. St. Vincent, whatever you did, we praise you, queen, because Diva came in and added a little extra something special.
There's something extra in there.
Mm-hmm. Every second on this song is perfectly paced. There's no time wasted. A really good vocal performance. It's also the introduction, I would say, of a really intentional rant bridge. This thing that Taylor has now picked up on is something that's very important to her songwriting, specifically with Jack. You could argue Out of the Woods is kind of a rant bridge. There aren't that many of them on Reputation, but to me, the ultimate rant bridge, there are two on this album, but Cruel Summer is like the hardest one.
Yeah, I think this was like the start of this specific kind of bridge from Taylor. I mean, you could even say All Too Well is a rant bridge if you really wanted to. I mean, if you want to take it there, you can have your technicality, but not like Cruel Summer. Cruel Summer was different, and I knew it was different the first time I heard it. I was like, I've never heard her do something like this before. She's screaming. She screams.
I'd never heard her voice like that when she did He Looks Up Grinning Like the Devil. It shocked me.
I wish I could have a video of her actually doing it. Like, I can't even imagine what her face looked like doing that kind of intense top of her lungs yelling. I want to see it so bad.
We deserve to see it. I think we do. Thank you, Jack Amy, honestly, for this. Like, you pulled this one out of your Jack Ussie, and it's amazing. I would like to pay special attention to, I think that the greatest pop songs, a lot of the times pop songs will have a great first verse, a great chorus, and the second verse specifically gets a little bit neglected. The second verse in Cruel Summer is the best verse on the song.
Yeah, that's what I put down as my favorite lyric, actually. It's really good. Not everybody gets it.
I put Hang Your Head Low in the Glow of the Vending Machine Light. I'm Not Dying.
They don't get it.
That's a Phoebe Bridgers line.
It's so funny because it's in Cruel Summer. Mine that I put down is Cut the Headlights, Summer's a Knife. I'm always waiting for you just to cut to the bone. She's a genius. This is poetry. This is Shakespearean. One line, the way that the lines feed into each other in verse two is like nothing I've ever heard before. It's like everything that comes after everything else is like, it just makes it better and better and better and better. It just like builds up to that chorus again. It's so good.
They and then it all fucking builds up to He Looks Up Grinning Like a Devil.
And that's what they don't understand. Like, there's something in Cruel Summer that I really think is for big brains exclusively. It's for big brains exclusively. And if you don't get it, you don't get it. And honestly, I feel sorry that you don't.
I have never gotten tired of this song either. Like, every time I hear it, I am astounded by how good it is. Like, when I sit down and I play, I go, yes! It's amazing. Thank you, Eras Tour, for bringing it back around.
Yeah, because we really needed that. We really needed it to go number one, and it did. Thank you so much, Cruel Summer, for
that was a great
giving
day.
Lover a number one. You finally Thank gave you. Lover a number one.
We couldn't have done it without you.
And it's the exact song that it should have been as well. So that makes me really happy.
Up next, track three. And this is a fact that surprised me. I'm pretty sure this is one of her top five hits in terms of streams, of at least.
Oh,
this is one of her
that.
Biggest songs ever.
Yeah.
And it is Lover. It's, you know what I always forget? It's very smart to write songs like Lover and Shake It Off because they are songs, and 22 actually, because they are songs that people will play at events in their life. Like, it's not just a good song that people like. It's also like it has a purpose for it. Like, Lover is a first dance song. That's what it was made to be. People, Madeline, used this song at their weddings.
I don't know who, but it is very much for the white girls of the world. Are you getting married? Well, yes. Are you interested in putting Lover on your wedding playlist? Yes. Almost on every girl that you could find from here all the way to the Mississippi, they are putting Lover on their wedding playlist. I was one of them. I walked down the aisle to Lover. Yep.
She was also really trying to do voodoo on Joe with the song, "You love me, we will be married soon. It doesn't matter if we're married because we are married. Did you know that we're married? Where's my ring?" She was doing a lot of incantations. Yeah,
she was. The song, it sounds like that for a reason. And it wasn't so other people would play it at their weddings. I'll tell you that for free. I'll tell you that free of charge, ladies and gentlemen. It was because she said, "I'm interested in the prospect of a ring and a white dress and everything that comes with it." And he said, "I couldn't care less if you paid me." So that's great.
A lot of Lover is Taylor begging Joe to love her specifically. It's a lot of that. It really is a lot of that going on. For me, objectively, I know this is a good song. It's a great song. I just find it kind of boring. Like, I look at it and I say, good melody, good production, good songwriting, classic Taylor. It clears Eldest Daughter. It clears Daylight. It's a very good song. I just don't personally resonate with it. Maybe if I had a lover that I cared about, then it would mean more to me. But my favorite lyric is, "Ladies and gentlemen, will you please stand with every guitar string scar on my hand?" I shed a tear.
I chose "My Heart's Been Borrowed and Yours Has Been Blue, All's Well That Ends Well" to end up with you. Not everybody gets it. But it's worth it to note, "Can I Go Where You Go?" And like the way that she sings it, I've almost never been able to listen to that and not cry. It's very wistful and very romantic. And I can tell she means it. She's really asking him. She's asking,
a lot of this album is begging. She's begging.
But taking Joe out of the equation, I still find it really, really romantic. It's a 10 for me. I gave it a 10 out of 10. Thank you so much, Lover, the song. You have inspired millions, specifically me.
I gave it a 7 out of 10. Thank you, Lover.
Okay. Thank you, Lover.
Next is The Man. Okay,
somebody
a little bit interesting. Lover is the fucking shapeshifter, because what do you mean that my thoughts on some of these songs are completely different now than they were when the album first came out?
Interesting.
I think because its momentum got stalled in the middle of the era and it didn't reach its natural conclusion, it was the most favorably positioned to get a rebrand. And Taylor really wanted to give Lover a rebrand with the Eras Tour. Mm. And I'm cheering because it made me appreciate The Man in a way that I had not appreciated it before. The performance is so good. I also think my main issue with The Man actually is the production. I think the production is really dated for the time. And the live version of it is so much better.
I felt that The Man was dated when it came out in 2019. It already was like, oh, we already did this. Like, this is 2016. Like, we're way past this already. But it really has to be said, I'm so sick of running as fast as I can, wondering if I'd get there quicker if I was a man, is undeniably like a bar of all time. So is the simple fact of, if I was a man, then I'd be the man. The thing that really bothers me about the song is it's half, like, completely genius. And then half sort of like, that's kind of cringy. It's like half and half. And it's like, of course it is.
That's Taylor's feminist experience. It's like, right, half of it is the general experience of patriarchy that every woman can relate to. The other half of it is, I am specifically oppressed as a billionaire, and I want you to treat me the way that you treat other male billionaires. I want to go on my yacht. I want to have twinks around me and drink champagne. Twinks. And I want to spend my money, and I want to be a baller. And it's like, okay, now you're losing me there.
It does have one of my all-time favorite ad-libs, probably just on Lover, but maybe even like broadly, one of my favorite Taylor ad-libs. It's in a part of the final chorus when she goes, "Then I'd be the man!" It's so good. Every time I have to listen to it at least to that part, because it's so satisfying to scream that along with Taylor. So actually, Lover has some really good ad-libs. Just randomly, when I was listening to it again.
That was a point I made, vocals. Some of the vocals on this album are really, really good. My favorite line that I picked out was, "I'd be a bitch, not a baller." Rolls off the tongue.
It rolls off the tongue. I picked, "I'm so sick of running as fast as I can, wondering if I'd get there quicker if I was a man."
8 out of 10 for me.
I gave it a 5 out of 10.
What?
Well, I have to, listen, you know, I'm a little bit harsh.
The feminist police. No, yeah, we're the feminist police.
Plus, you know what? The same thing happened to me as what happened to me with Delicate, where the music video came out and I was like, and now you've tainted it for life. You see how that works? You see how you ruined it? It's unforgivable. It's unforgivable. I'm sorry. Like, I can't. So, Taylor, thank you so much. But the Eras Tour,
it's the worst.
Yeah. The Eras Tour definitely did a huge... The performance is so good. I loved the rafters or whatever it was, the thing that they built that she had to climb and then get up onto the... It's so AOC, Hillary Clinton. She put her boots up, red bottom. She's got her jacket on. I'm sorry. It's hilarious.
It's pussy hat.
I cheered. Okay? 5 out of 10.
I cheered, but I gave it 5 out of 10. Speaking of fives, track 5, The Archer. This really, I mean, this was the first time that I was like, you're forcing it, babe. You're really forcing it. A frustrating song that comes and goes. Like, you interrupted it in the middle of doing something. It doesn't start or end. It just kind of, like, arrives and then leaves. It's reheating Reputation Nachos lyrically also. But I forgive everything for the second bridge. So the second verse, rather. I really love my favorite lyric. I wake in the night. I pace like a ghost. The room is on fire. Invisible smoke. Beautiful.
My issue with this is that the song is great ideas executed poorly. This is one of Jack's greatest crimes against the Taylor Swift cinematic universe.
It's a bleacher song.
I hate everything about the way that he produced this song. And there's already somebody's fingers going to the keyboard. You don't get it because it's supposed to build anxiety.
This one has so many shooters.
Blah, 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 blah. And it's just like, I understand all of that. I still don't think it was executed as well as it could have been. I dislike this song. I gave it a 4.
I gave it a 6.
My favorite lyric. My favorite lyric is All My Heroes Die All Alone.
Sad.
There's some truly great lyrics on this song, but unfortunately, it's not just the production, it's also the vocal performance. All of my heroes die all alone. It's like, okay, Jack.
It didn't need all of that. Much.
No, it really didn't need all that. So, unfortunately, sashay away.
Sashay away. Speaking of something that is not going to sashay away ever in the history of the world, I think he knows. Again, we're putting out Me and You Need to Calm Down as singles when we have I Think He Knows and Cruel Summer in the tank. So fucking good. One of her best bangers ever. Deeply underrated. I think this is Dress's fun younger cousin. And the spare production here kind of reminds me of I Forgot That You Existed. Like, it's very minimalistic and, like, beat-oriented, but it's better executed. I also love falsetto Taylor. She wants to have fun, and I think she really cleverly describes, like, wanting and being horny without being gratuitous like Wood, you know? I use this as an example in the Showgirl Experience every night.
I think this is a really unique song in the Tay discography. Like, even as far as the pop music goes, there's no other song exactly produced the same way as I Think He Knows. It's very, like, bouncy in a strange way. Like, it's kind of like a trampoline sort of a song. I can't explain what I mean by that. I also think I Think He Knows is secretly a Showgirl song, which is kind of a strange opinion. It's, like, one of the most Showgirl songs on Lover. It really is. Like, there's something in it where I'm like, in another universe, if only...
she's fun. Like, Joe wasn't fun.
No,
Joe wasn't fun and she wasn't having fun.
It's a really, really fun song. It doesn't take itself too seriously. It's, like, cute sexy or fun sexy, which is really hard to do. It's actually, like, not that easy. See Wood. See Wood. See Wood. It can slip away from you really fast. This was Sabrina Carpenter before Sabrina Carpenter had figured out what she was doing yet. I'll put it that way. It also threatens Joe Alwyn, which I enjoy. Threaten him all you want. I think he knows.
He better lock it down. It's more begging. It's begging masquerading as demanding. He knows he better lock it down or I won't stick around. She was literally holding him at gunpoint and he repeatedly said, shoot me.
I don't care.
I'm done. I'll walk away. I don't care. The ad-libs on this song are so good. You know the part where she goes, heartbeat.
So good. You know what my favorite one is? It's in the second verse when she goes, I mean. That's so good. It's so good. Great ad-libs.
I love this song. Puts a smile on my face whenever I hear it. This is summer.
It really, my favorite lyrics. I love the bridge. The bridge is my favorite part. Lyrical smile, indigo eyes, hand on my thigh. We could follow the sparks.
Oh my God, it makes me blush.
Yeah, it makes me blush. Where are we going to go? I think he knows. It's really clever.
Oh, the vocals also amazing. My favorite line is, I think he knows his hand around a cold glass makes me want to know that body like it's mine. That is fucking great songwriting smuggled into this little song.
It truly is like a little song. It's a little moment. It's a charming little moment. And
the acoustic version that she did on air is amazing.
Yeah, let's talk about that. Let's talk about Your Arrest. Let's talk about how come we don't play that song more often. But we were getting a million different versions of some songs. And meanwhile, I Think He Knows, I think, was played once.
We get Maroon 100 times. We didn't ask.
Yeah, because people think too much about why you're thinking about Maroon so much. Because why are you? Why are you?
But anyway. Why aren't you thinking about I Think He Knows? Well, we know the answer, actually. We do know the answer to that.
Unfortunately, we do know the answer.
But it is a Travis song. Low-key, it is a Travis song. I'm taking this for Travis, for Tavis.
I'm taking it, too. 10 out of 10. Thank you so much,
I Think He Knows. Because he actually locked it down, okay? He actually stuck around. Some people could take
it. I bet. This is also a song that he would really like, I think.
Oh, I think for like, sure. But he's definitely never heard it before. He's definitely never heard this song. 100% hasn't. Okay, track 7. This was one of my most confusing and perplexing re-listens. Miss Americana and the Heartbreak Prince. Okay, so if I put aside the lyrics and what it's about, rare Joel Little Slay, production-wise, it's actually really hard to divorce this song from the context of it because it was a humiliation ritual. Like, it's so ridiculous and it's so overwrought. Like, pop star weighs in on the disastrous autocrats ruining the world. And what does she have to say? I'm feeling hopeless, ripped up my prom dress. You know.
Interesting. Interesting.
Prism of high school is not always useful. Not always. Sometimes. I'll give it to you. Sometimes, but not always. But the song is deeply iconic because of the Eras Tour, and the chorus and the bridge goes crazy. Yeah. They are complete and total Lana Del Rey, Born to Die ad-lib ripoffs, but I forgive it because I like to hear them.
You know, I actually think this is more a Halsey Badlands ripoff.
Oh.
To be totally honest with you. Like, I really think this is a Badlands song from another, in a different font. It's great production. It's to me, the first verse and the first chorus are great. When we get to the second verse, it's when we start losing the plot in a big way. Because, like, the first verse of the first chorus, you can kind of divorce it a little bit and be like, okay, I can kind of, like, pretend this is about whatever I want it to be about. Then you get into the second verse and you can't.
My team is losing.
But it also gets like so convoluted at the same time, where it's like, wait, what are we talking about? Who are you talking to? What is that one lyric about the bad guys? I see the high fives between the bad guys. It's like, okay, I can't do this, Diva. See, now you're losing me because I don't know what the fuck you're talking about. So I think it was almost something. I think Joel Little really could. Really did the best that he could with what he was handed, which is odd. Because in other instances, he's taking what he was given and making a complete disaster. But this is the one time he was like, okay, I know exactly what you want me to do. And he did it. Thank you, Joel.
There's something about Actually Romantic and Miss Americana that are linked from a production perspective, specifically their bridges. I don't ever let you go because you know I want to. And the thing is that the bridge for Miss Americana would be so good if the lyrics weren't so embarrassing, because at a certain point it becomes like you're 30 and we can't be doing this anymore. Like, this is, it's just a humiliatingly shallow thing that is not aware of how shallow it is. It's delivered with 100% seriousness.
I also think a lot of people were thinking, wait, you just realized all this now? Kind of like if you listen to it, like, oh, all this concept of like, oh, all these things are happening, oh my god, I just realized. You just realized? Wait, like, because what have you been doing this past eight years?
Her entry into resistance pop, and the term of the presidency that she was resisting is almost over by the time this comes out. So it was like, Diva.
And you know, the thing is, it didn't even, some things just don't work a second time around. Things stop being funny and cute, time two. So it's like, this doesn't even help me now. I'll tell you that for free. Nothing does. Nothing really does. But like this... I don't listen to this and think, yeah, get him. Like, not at this point. I like to remove
Give me
the
Nightmare
context.
By Halsey. Give me
I like to pretend that it's actually, like, really about this, like, almost parable that she's telling, like, ooh, I'm
High
a homecoming
school.
Queen.
I'll take it.
And for some reason, they hate me. I don't know why, but they do. Let's just, like, take all that out of it. It's fun.
The
it's
dancers
Carrie.
Are depressed.
It's Carrie.
Why she thought that only the young needed to exist after creating this, I have no fucking idea. Like, this should have just been her one and only rallying cry. Only the young is like an even, it's like an LLM version of Miss Americana. She said,
I don't know what
to Kat,
she was thinking.
Make it again.
From the start of those drum beats. boom, boom. It's so bad. It's produced so poorly. When the kids
it makes me laugh.
Can I help out?
It makes me laugh.
Too busy helping themselves.
Oh, it's like, too. It's just, you know what? She really had to hammer the point home that she doesn't fucking get it.
No. And you know what? Tea was served. Was it lukewarm? Was it too late? Et cetera. Yes, all these things are true. Tea was served. They're not going to help us, too busy helping themselves. So true.
My lyric that I picked was, "We're so sad we paint the town blue, voted most likely that to run away great, with you." When I think that's about depressed cheerleader, homecoming queen, I'm like, yeah.
It totally hits. I love that line too. My favorite lyric is, "You play stupid games, you win stupid prizes." It scratches my eardrum. You play stupid games. The way she says stupid is very satisfying to me. It is stupid. And also true. You play stupid games, you win stupid prizes.
Happens all the time. I don't know. I'm always playing stupid games. I don't
understand what that has to do with the subject matter. Whenever I try to put it in context, I'm like, what does that mean, my love? I don't know what that means.
Yeah, who are you critiquing?
Yeah, I... Who knows?
She don't know. Anyway,
I gave it a 7. Miss America. Me too. You got a 7. Deserved.
I also gave it a 7. Okay, up next, Paper Rings. So here's the thing. I've always hated this song. I still hate it. I do appreciate it adds something a little different sonically to the record. It's a nice live instrument reprieve because there's been a lot of bleep bloop, if you think about it, a lot of bleep bloop up until this point other than Lover. Actually, Romantic and this are linked too, sonically, I think.
Oh, that's not true. You lost me. That's where you just lost me. So for the record, this is a perfect 10 out of 10, literally perfect song from start to finish to me. This also created Olivia Rodrigo's whole career. So write that down.
Without this paper song rings, created Olivia Rodrigo's no, whole career?
This song created Olivia Rodrigo's whole career. Write it down,
oh,
everybody.
Now you've lost me.
It invented Goodbye. Her. She wouldn't be here without so the number wrong. One worldwide hit, Paper Rings.
Ignore her, she
I
drinks.
Love this song. I honestly don't get what you don't like about it. It actually baffles me. And
it's annoying.
I don't think it's anything like actually romantic. I don't think it's anything like actually romantic. Like at
I
all.
Think it has that.
Why? Because there's a guitar?
Thing. I think there's something just sonically about it. They just remind me of each other. It's not like they're the same song or that they are about the same thing. But this song to me, I've always hated it. It's like Dorothea to me. I just don't, it's like an earblood moment to me. I do think that it's funny that there are so many warning signs in it. I'm with you even if it makes me blue. Talking about your exes and your fights again. And then saying, but it's okay, you don't have to marry me. I'm still your wife. Girl.
No, there's... But that's, you know what I mean? Some of us, you know, it wasn't a delusion for some of us. And thank God.
No. For some people, they got a paper ring and a real ring.
Some people got a paper ring and a real ring. And we have to clap and cheer. I also think this one is a really unique song in her discography as well. It's like nothing else really sounds like this.
Thank God.
She's never quite done this exact thing again. Jack, you've done it again. Constantly raising the bar for us all. I mean, not just anybody could do that. So 10 out of 10 for me.
I gave it a 5 out of 10. The lyric that I picked was, "I hate accidents except when we went from friends to this."
Oh, that's the one that I picked too.
Period. Okay, track 9. This album is also so long. Cornelia Street. I really dislike the production here. This to me is like one of the worst production decisions on the album because it obscures what is otherwise quite a well-written song. It's a classic Taylor song to me. I like the acoustic version. Perhaps the most old Taylor moment here, other than "Soon You'll Get Better," it's a solo, right? So I remember being very excited about that and then hearing the production and being like, well, I don't know.
So for me, this is another one of Jack's greatest crimes. This is another one of his great, great crimes. There's a good song somewhere in there. I also think it's like a lore song at this point. So like it's made me like it because of what it is and like how much there is to like pick apart there. But if you took this song out of context and just stand alone, is it a good song? It's kind of plain. The melody is boring. The production is boring. The lyrics are just a story. There's really no standout, oh my God, all-time great Taylor Swift lyrics in this song. It's just kind of like, okay, it serves a purpose, and I admit it has to be there, but at the same time, if it disappeared, I don't think it would change my understanding of, like, what she's trying to say about the relationship on the album at all. It's completely superfluous to me.
No, sorry, and to the diva. It really, all it does is say, I'm screaming for a ring. Wait, no, I don't care about the ring. I'll leave you if you don't give me a ring. Remember when you broke up with me and then you didn't. Thank you so much for not doing that. That's the story that she's telling here.
We almost broke up. That's what she's saying.
Every song is about that. Why is every song about "you almost left me"? But now we're still together for today.
It's the red. It truly is the Red Flag album. But we couldn't see it then. We really couldn't. I gave it a 5.
I gave it a 6.
My favorite lyric.
We bless the rains on Cornelia Street.
That's what I said. It's great. I like that part where she says, "Jacket round my shoulder is yours," mm-mm, and the beat comes in. That's kind of a good part. But
she thinks that that line. She thinks the line in Father Figure has the power of this line, the mahogany grain, but it's not.
No, but it's not. It'll never be. It's not.
The way that was spoken in code, and only a select few people can understand what I was saying to you, that was literally not English. Okay, the Tay tongues are coming out. Track 10, Death by a Thousand Cuts. An instant favorite of mine. As soon as I heard this, it was my number one from Lover for a very, very long time. I love this song. And Lover, yes, it's the explosion of the rant bridge. This is another excellent rant bridge. And I don't think that it really existed in this particular like shout singing form until we get to this part of her career. It's so perfectly deployed to good dramatic effect here. It's like the list of things that she's saying over and over, the way like that the memories are coming back to her as she's trying to move on but can't. And it's kind of, and this, it's the same thing with Cruel Summer. In Cruel Summer, she's like withholding the whole song and then she finally unleashes in the bridge. Like it's a tempo thing that I really like. But the writing here is just so good. The piano sample is crazy. The my refrain is so nice. It's a damn shame we never got to hear this live with a full band.
But we did get to hear it live in London. We did. Technically.
We did.
Technically.
We did. I forgot that.
This song, before I say anything, I gave it a 10 out of 10. This is like a fandom favorite song. I've always thought, you know, it's one of those songs where you're like, okay, it's really good, but you see how much other people like it and you're like, is it that good? That's kind of how I've always felt about it. Yeah, it's not, again, I gave it a 10 out of 10. But it's like, I mean, is this like one of the all-time greatest Taylor Swift songs ever? I don't know if I'd think that. I think what it does, other songs do better.
Interesting.
Again, I gave it a 10 out of 10. I gave it a 10 out of 10. I gave it a 10 out of 10. I think it's a great song. It's also kind of weird, which is what I like about it. Like, again, there's a lot of moments on Lover where it's like nothing else before. It's like they were getting freaky deaky in the studio in a way that they haven't really since. And it's like got all those weird productional elements to it. So I appreciate that.
She said Jack go crazy with this.
Yeah. I gave it a 10 out of 10.
I also love that she tried to pretend like it wasn't about a real event. Another amazing piece of lore.
Yeah. That was diabolical. And it's like, you know, you could have just said nothing. You don't have to make all this shit up.
It's the lies that killed me. And also the specific movie that she said she wrote it about, like this flop Netflix movie that no one has ever heard of or seen.
You could have chosen so many movies and you chose that one?
Okay, could have chosen Notting Hill, a great romantic comedy or something. And instead, the latest Netflix movie you watched yesterday before you came to give the interview about what the song was about and you needed to come up with something. Yeah, okay, fine. The lyric that I chose is, I asked the traffic lights if it'll be all right. They say, I don't know.
I chose, you said it was a great love, one for the ages. But if the story's over, why am I still writing pages? People are asking. I've been asking that question. I used to make that, I had a meme that I made where it's the Bernie Sanders. And he says, I'm once again asking for your support. But I put in, I'm once again asking you, if the story's over, why am I still writing pages? I'm asking you, why? Thank you.
10 out of 10 from me too. Up next, and I'm being dead fucking serious, another 10 out of 10. I can't even be unserious about this song because it's legit. I'm always joking that it's the greatest song ever made, but the more that I say it, the more that I believe that it's true, that a hint of irony. Like, this song fills me with glee. Obviously, it's her being silly, but it's also her being dead ass serious at the same time. That's what I love about it. Weirdly, I remember this being the most mocked thing from the album when it came out. Like, this was the thing that everybody was like, this is terrible. I'm like, you heard me and you had time to critique London Boy?
Huh? I find that very, very interesting. To me, this is a perfect pop song. Yeah, I said it. Write it down. It's a perfect pop song. Get mad all you want. I don't care. I'm like the meme of the serene bird and you're the crazy angry bird screaming at me. I'm listening to London Boy and I can't hear you. The melodic flow of this song, especially in the chorus, is one of her all-time greats. You know I love a London boy. I enjoy nights in Brixton. Shoreditch in the afternoon. And the way she hits all of the, like, London sort of, like, lingo and, like, the British slang and stuff, the way she says it, it's so corny. It's so lame. It really just gives, I'm an American girl in love with my London boy, which is, like, literally
it's Emily in Paris energy.
No, it is, and it's so cute. I love it. And you can hear the smile in her voice as she's singing it. Actually, my favorite lyric is, he likes my American smile like a child when our eyes meet. Darling, I fancy you. Yeah, ridiculous. I said it. It's genius.
Ridiculous.
It's genius. Complete.
And this is also a historical piece of international diplomacy between two Western superpowers, America and the United Kingdom, joining forces to say, Taylor Swift, we welcome you. And she was welcomed. What the hell is a Tennessee Stella McCartney? We'll never know. That's none of our business.
And we don't need to.
It just sounded good. It sounded perfect, and that's all it needed to be. And the lyrics here, like, I love memeing this song. This is one of the most memeable Taylor Swift songs. The pub wee doesn't have to be Louis V up on Bond Street. It doesn't.
See, when you're really that girl and you start all that conversation and you're that iconic, that's what happens. Any reference that you can make to the song, everybody knows what you're talking about. Pub wee. You can find me in the pub wee or watching rugby with a school of friends. I'll never forget the first time I was in the pub wee. I was like, this is so camp.
You were like, I'm here. And would you have had such a good experience if you didn't have pub wee to think about?
No, I actually listened to London Boy at least 5 times as we were making our descent into the city of London the first time I went. And it was gorgeous. Is perfect.
Also, Soundwave is on this song, and he co-wrote and co-produced Lavender Haze, Karma, and Glitch, and London Boy. Bring him back.
Yeah, I would kind of really like to see him a lot more on another album, because he always adds something different to every album that he appears on. Like, oh,
and all
Lavender
songs
Haze
are different.
Yeah. And like Lavender Haze really, to me, like, is the perfect kickoff to Midnights. I wasn't always saying that. I had to come around. But like, he really ate on that song. And it's kind of unlike any other Taylor song.
Meet me at midnight.
Meet me at midnight.
My lyric that I picked was, they say home is where the heart is, but God, I love the English. Because you can tell she's trolling. Also, that BBC Radio 1 Live Lounge performance of this song.
Oh my God, it's
one
so
of my favorite Taylor performances. She's so gorgeous. She's so cute. The vocals she's amazing. Are perfect. I Swifty.
But you know what? Speaking of that specific performance, what is the song that she covered?
Can't Stop
I Can't Help
you.
Falling in Love with You. Oh, I hate that.
Can't Stop Loving
song.
You, Phil Collins. I love that. I really love that cover.
I hated it. I don't know why. It's just, I was like, this is so, we could have picked anything and you picked this. But anyway, just me
up
being
next
hateful.
Is one of the most diabolical trackless transitions she has ever done in her life. I don't know what she was thinking. It's Soon You'll Get Better.
Oh, I skipped this
London
one.
London Boy.
I was
Soon
like,
You'll Get Better.
I completely forgot. I was like, I'm not going to rank that. I'm not giving that a rating.
Oh.
I completely forgot about that. Sorry.
Well, I'll give mine because I gave it a 10. So it's respectful to give her a 10. I really love this song. And I think that it's one of those times when you get more emotional resonance out of it simply just by being a Swiftie, because Andrea is like a character in the lore. And also, it stands alone because it just makes the personal universal. Anyone can relate to this. It doesn't have to necessarily be about like a parent. It can just be about your person, like that person that is so integral to your life. And she'd been really reserved about this topic. So I think we were surprised to learn that it was still ongoing. It was definitely a shock to hear the song. The chicks are a perfect assist. I think it's beautiful. I also think that it really enhances the lover concept and proves that it wasn't just a cover to write that I Love Joe Marry Me album. Like, there were other topics of love going on throughout the album, and this is a great example of that.
I like the performance she did, which was actually also during COVID, a bizarre COVID
live stream.
I can't remember exactly what it was, and it was when Keith Urban was at home. And yet we didn't see Nicole Kidman. I find that very, very interesting when he showed up and we didn't see Nicole Kidman. Anyway, I don't remember what that was called. It had like
it was
a
Global
name.
Citizen, wasn't it?
Something like that, yeah. And she did it live and Lady Gaga took a video of herself watching her perform it and was just like watching it and going, thank you so much, Taylor. What a beautiful performance. Thank you for sharing that with us, Taylor. I think of that every time I think
so
of Soon You'll
I
Get Better.
Her.
I don't listen to this song, to be clear. It's not something that I'm listening to. It is something that it's just like shelved to me. It almost is like, this is none of my business.
Fair. I love it. I listen to it. I find it comforting also, like for my own grief and stuff. So I find it to be like a, useful emotional tool. So I think it's there if you want it. And if you don't want to listen to it, you don't have to. 13, false god. One of the most mysterious Taylor Swift constructions in all the land. Another accidental My Boyfriend Hates Me song.
Yeah, the song is really interesting. It's a secret midnight song.
It's a secret
midnight song, which is really interesting if you think about the layers of that. Think about what Lover is. Think about what Midnight is. False God's Midnight Song. There's something there.
It's clicking. Click, click,
it's another one that's kind of unlike anything she's ever done before. It feels really unique and special in the discography. It's really sexy. It's also really sad in a really strange way.
Can I say something? I think Guilty as Sin belongs in there too. Guilty as Sin was like written after False God, like on the same night as a False God. It's like, you're shutting me out.
Yeah.
I'm trying to love you. But now I'm having this intrusive thought about someone else who might actually love me. But no, I can't do that. I can't do that. I can't.
There's something to that. There's something to that. And again, that's a midnight slap too. On her sleepless nights, she's thinking, even if it's a false god, wait, what if?
What if it's not?
The way you hold me is actually what's holy. Think about that.
There's a transition
there. It's interesting because they both mention religion. It's something that she does very rarely. And when she does, it's like it has so much purpose. So that's very interesting. I think the thread of like mentioning God and like religion and using it as a metaphor in her discography is really interesting. This is an interesting one to compare your relationship to, essentially, if I may, a hoax.
I put that in. That's in my notes. I said hoax was coming through the grapevine.
It's very interesting. And it's, I found it strange day one. I plus play on this song day one. And I was like, what is this song about and who are you talking about? Because it doesn't sound like the other songs, you know what I mean? Like there's something else in here that's like darker, sort of an I don't want to live forever kind of a vibe to False God. If you think about it, so it's different.
What I find really strange is the even if it's a false god, we'd still worship this love. So you know you don't really love each other or that your love isn't real, and you're just gonna lock in for 4 more years and torture yourself anyway. That's she's predicting her own future here. It's so weird. She's like, I'm in it now. I've made all these declarations. Like, I don't have a choice. But I agree. This is, when I got to this point of my re-listen, I was like, this is one of her most experimental sonically albums. It's all over the place. It's kind of like Red's Midnight Rain, the sunshine to Red's Midnight Rain in terms of like just jumping around in sound a lot. But my favorite line was, daring you to leave me just so I can try and scare you. Interesting.
It's psychotic. It's really psycho. My favorite one was, I know heaven's a thing. I go there when you touch me, honey. Hell is when I fight with you. It's impassioned. It's got layers to it. I gave it a 9.
The fact that no one called the police at her record label when this album was played, no one's took her aside and said,
we didn't.
What's going on?
We said, yeah.
But
yes.
It's not our job. Our job is
No, exactly. We did exactly what we were asked to do. Mm-hmm. And we did a swimming, fantastic job of it, especially under the circumstances, might I say.
Well, we did a great job of not killing ourselves. I think
we believed in her so much.
Really?
to wait for this album to come out.
Up next. Now, this is where it just starts. It just goes to hell from here, basically. 14, you need to calm down. Just humiliating. What possessed her to leave Jack off the production for the first two singles? I don't understand. This sounded dated on arrival production in 2013. Worse than the man. This Katy Perry prism ass beat. It is so...
Boom, boom, boom.
It was just so clearly in service of people are criticizing me and I need to evolve my brand. I love gays. And it's such a reductive insight. Insight is the wrong word. Reductive offense into what being gay is through Taylor's eyes. And again, as I always say, this is the best proof of all that she is not a covert lesbian.
Yeah, this is very straight. It's incredibly straight. It's the straightest thing that's ever been straighted. But you know what I've realized about the song as time has gone on? I think there is a very huge part of her that was doing it for the gays. But if you really listen to what You Need to Calm Down is about,
haters.
It's kind of a rallying cry for her fans to rally behind her. Snakes and stones never broke my bones.
Horrible. That's one of the worst lines in the song. And you know what? When I was looking at it, it's actually flop bar after flop bar. Why be mad when you can be glad?
And then you had people going, you just don't get it. You don't understand the gay, lesbian, AAD. And it's just like, okay, I understand it.
No,
that doesn't mean it's good. That doesn't make it good.
It's giving. I saw RuPaul once and I felt so inspired by his story that I wanted to write a song about him. And the hook of the song being, can you just not step on my gown?
It didn't help that Todrick Hall was perhaps the only gay person she really was super close to at the time.
Oh my God. It's like,
not to mention,
like if you ask Brittany Mahomes to show you what being a woman is like.
Not to mention Ryan Reynolds painting Stonewall in the music video. We don't get her enough for that. What was that?
And
he just wanted to say, I'm okay with gay. I'm okay
Blake
with gay.
Blake wasn't even in it. I would have taken Blake.
I would have taken Blake because at least she's, you know, for the girls, she's for the gays. Ryan Reynolds, who was he for? He's not for the gays. Do the gays like Ryan Reynolds? I don't think so.
She
literally he's like a gay.
This was just bad blood gay version. She Googled who are famous gay people right now. Hannah Hart
That's
is in this
really
music video.
Bad,
Adam
really
Rippon,
bad.
The figure skater, is in this video. It's like
really
you didn't
bad.
Even think about like who these gay people are or like what they mean or what they do. You abstract them from their context and throw them in a music video just to like be your accessory. Embarrassing from start to finish.
No, and you know what? We could say the intentions were, the heart was in the right place, but it's kind of a mess. Like, especially with retrospect now in 2026, like, it's really not, and sometimes it's like, you can't criticize it too much, but it's like, I think we can criticize it plenty, because I think it's kind of
It's actually almost offensive to me as a gay person, a gay Swiftie. Like, it is almost offensive, I would say.
Yeah, the trailer park. All the gay people live in the trailer park. Like, there's layers to this. You know what I mean?
It's, no, there's,
but
like, a lot of issues going on.
You have to not look at it too closely.
Mom,
otherwise
I am a rich man. What does that have to do with I Love Gay?
She was fighting for her life to make I Love Gay about, like,
me.
Girl bossing. I don't think it's the same thing, babe. I don't think it's
no.
the same thing. But thank you so much.
Thank you. I did pick, there is one bar in this entire song, and it's Shade Never Made Anybody Less Gay.
That's what I picked too. And you know what? If you don't get that, you weren't there in the Eras Tour crowd on June 2nd, 2023 in Chicago on the first show of Pride Month. You weren't
it
there.
It changed.
We were there. I'm always posting.
After she gave, before she gave her rambling speech. Before the rambling speech. I gave it a 2 out of 10 because it really did go hard at Eras, so it got one more extra point.
I actually gave it a 6 out of 10.
Oh.
I gave it a 6. You know what? I said Shade never made anybody.
Oh, homophobaline.
Okay. It's for the gays. It's for the gays. Who am I to judge? Who am I to judge?
It is. Okay, Afterglow. When I listen to this now, I'm like, get the fuck up, girl. Get up. But I also remember getting to this point of the tracklist on the first listen and being like, where are we going with this? Like, what are we proceeding to and from? London Boy into Soon You'll Get Better was insane already. This is a warning song. I like the chorus. It does get stuck in my head from time to time. Her vocals on this are really tuned, though, like in a distracting way.
Yeah, there's something about the production that's interesting, I think, but like because the song is so mid, I think it's pretty weak. Like the lyrics are weak. Like it's not written well. Hey, it's all me in my head. Like it's just not interesting in any way, shape, or form. This is a chop. Like, there's no other way to put it. This should have never made it onto the album. I'm not sure why it did. It's a chop. It's a chop.
I think she just wanted to make a longer album for streaming. That's my thought of it, because it was her first, like, album that was going to be available to stream from the day that it came out. The line I picked was, this ultraviolet morning light below tells me this love is worth the fight. It's a pretty line.
I picked Meet Me in the Afterglow.
6 out of 10.
I gave it a 4. I gave it a 4. Sorry,
a
Diva.
A 4. Okay. The next thing, we've talked a lot about this, so I guess we don't need to linger too much. Me, what is there to say about this fucking mess that hasn't been said already? My favorite line is, hey kids, spelling is fun, because it shamed her into removing it and realizing this was a horrible song. The worst possible statement about this album, I will never understand her thought process here. Never.
I still think this is the worst thing she's ever made. From production to lyrics to music video to outfits to hair to the feature. From top to bottom, this is the biggest disaster of her career. In a way, me almost makes me feel safe because I'm like, okay, I know she can't go lower than that. And she hasn't.
She hasn't
gone lower than me.
Wood is not even close to this. It's not
even
close.
No, I take Wood any day, because at least Wood, I think is like, it has a good production and I think it has a cute melody and there's like, I like parts of it. There's nothing I like about me. Not one single solitary moment. I don't know what she was thinking. And I have the evidence of what she was thinking. It's in Miss Americana. But I still am like, what were you thinking? Like, what the fuck were you thinking?
And then what were you thinking making us go 4 months without a follow-up? That also made it so much worse.
I promise.
She was still Googling gay people. That's why she couldn't for the You Need to Calm Down music video. She's like, and coming up three more.
And coming up with Ryan Reynolds, which is really the gag.
Taylor, 1 out of 10.
I give it a 0. I give it a big fat 0.
Period. It's nice to have a friend. It's cute. I just forget that it exists. I don't really listen to it. Maybe I've never had a friend. But I also like Soon You'll Get Better. I appreciate the expansion it brings to the album in terms of like themes.
I gave it a 10 out of 10. I think it's truly a perfect song. Totally unique in the discography. One of the most romantic songs in her discography. This song takes me to a place I can't go with any other song. I think it would have been a really great folklore song, actually. I think it would have been perfect on that album. But like on Lover, it just kind of adds a little bit of dynamicness, a little bit of, you know, a little something extra to the album. I think it's really beautiful. I love the song. Literally one of my favorite Taylor songs. Love.
Unfortunately, she's surrounded by flops where she is on the track list.
Oh, at the end of the album, it gets really, really dark. It gets really dark. My favorite lyric from It's Nice to Have a Friend is, feels like home, stay in bed the whole weekend. It's nice to have a friend.
I just picked It's Nice to Have a Friend because it's true. And I agree.
It's true. It's true. You can't deny that.
Now let's get to closing number. This is another song that has so many shooters that get extremely upset whenever we get mad about
it. Well, start shooting, because I gave it a 2 and I said it's a flop. Start shooting me. Put me on the cross. It's a flop.
I gave it a 3 out of 10 because unlike me and You Need to Calm Down, it is a real song. This is, however, where Gracie Abrams learned how to write songs. It's so forced and overwrought and insane. And to think that when you listen to any of these happy songs on this allegedly happy album, all of them, even the happiest ones like this, are about, I'm scared you're going to leave me. It was just so insincere. And by the time she gets around to Daylight, thematically, the plot is lost. And to think that she almost called the album Daylight, that would have fundamentally shifted my axis of understanding of this as a collection of songs. I would have been like, what the fuck are we doing
here? It would have made no sense. It would have made absolutely no freaking sense. I think she was addicted to the concept of this being her healing album. I'm healed. I'm happy now. Even if that wasn't 100% like the case and she knew that deep down.
And that's why it comes across as like weird and forced and a little bit choked up, this album in general, because she was really trying, I think, to portray something she didn't accurately feel. And because her music is so much about how she feels when she's putting it on, it becomes really apparent. And Daylight is just like, if you like it, that's fine. But this actually is objectively a badly written song. Like, it's not well written. The images aren't good. It's very vague. It's very generic. Not good.
You know what my favorite part of the song is?
When it
Maybe
ends.
You ran with the wolves and refused to settle down. Maybe I've stormed out of every single room in this town. Threw out our cloaks and our daggers because it's morning now. It's brighter now.
It gives? 'Tis locked inside the... Like, they're the same.
Yeah, it's a mess. It's a freaking mess. I actually also don't know what she's talking about. Who ran with the wolves and refused to settle down? Joe? Okay.
This is like when she's talking about the eldest children. Like, who the fuck are you speaking to? And what are you talking about? Actually, Daylight and Eldest Daughter are the same song, essentially. Like, the problems
In many ways, they are. In many ways, they are. Every eldest daughter felt like a lamb to the slaughter. Period.
My favorite line was, my love was as cruel as the cities I lived in. Sure.
Everyone looked.
And then it's
the
downhill
light.
From there.
I give it a 2. Did I already say that? 2.
Yeah. Well, I guess we can do our ranking now. I have a five-way tie for number 1. It's Soon You'll Get Better. I Think He Knows, Death by a Thousand Cuts, London Boy, and Cruel Summer. Well, yes.
I have a 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, seven-way tie for number 1. It's Nice to Have a Friend, Death by a Thousand Cuts, London Boy, Paper Rings, I Think He Knows, Cruel Summer, and Lover. Some great songs here. Some all-timers. some all-timers.
You see how Lover is like almost half amazing, but the problem is that the chops are so chopped that they drag it down.
Well, you know, I was going through it, I was like, I'm giving a lot of songs a perfect 10. Let me like grade it, like figure out its score. So I did, like, you know, out of the potential perfect score that it could get, I had 115. So I was like, okay, what's that? It's still a D+. I regret to inform everybody, it's still a D+. But it's did a lot better than I thought it would. Like, there's a lot of 10s here. That's 7 10s. That's 70. 70. That's a lot.
I've got 8 under a 6, though, or 6 and under, which is not a place I like to be with a Taylor Swift album.
No. So I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. 7 under 6. So 7 under the halfway mark. Sorry, Divas.
Showgirl could be Lover if there were like 9 more songs. And
well,
if like 4 of them were good.
Here's like really the gag. I don't know. And opinions change. Things change. People change. I think we all know that. Lover taught us that, actually.
I'll never change, but I'll never stay the same.
But I think at this moment, I don't think there's a perfect 10 on Showgirl.
Mm-mm.
Individual songs-wise. Club, there's some 9s. Elizabeth Taylor, I think. Father Figure.
Ruin the Friendship. No, there's no 10. There just isn't a 10. Ruin the Friendship,
Is close.
That's kind of a 10. Yeah, that's kind of a 10. Father Figure is up next for me, I guess, but still not a 10.
Sorry.
Anyway, Showgirl, we can talk about you another time. I'm sick of hearing about you. You're the number one album till the rest of history, I guess. Lover, we appreciate you.
We reflect on you. We respect you. We pay our tributes to you. You have given us something to think about so many times. We've talked about you so much. You represent Evolution of a Snake in more ways than you realize. And I think that's really powerful. You represent us. And we're forever grateful to your illustrious career. Thank you so much, Love.
And you represent flops that can unflop themselves.
Flops that can become unflopped, which is really powerful. You don't see that a lot.
No. And everyone can just pray that Showgirl will experience the same fate.
Yeah.
And before we sign off, you guys, you need to go to MadaLizardTube. Madeline's YouTube channel is here. It's queer. There is a beautiful video on it. Madeline, tell them about it. What's the video? How often are you going to be uploading?
That's a great question. That's a fantastic question. How often will I be uploading? These are questions I haven't thought about very much. I pretty much launched and said it's been launched. And what happens from here is in God's hands. I'd like to say every week, but let's not get crazy. I don't want to put myself in a situation that I can't get out of. So let's all calm down.
On a regular basis.
It will be regularly updated. So that's an interesting question. it's MadaLizardTube. The first video is about Robert Pattinson and Kristen Stewart, which nobody expected, and that made me smile. I was like, that's right, I gagged you. The number of people who were like, I didn't know most of this, I was like, that's crazy to me, because to me it was like front page news every day. But that's because I was demented and I was deranged.
That's
because
you were a Robston.
That's why I'm in this business, because I'm the demented one who does all this work so you don't have to and you can just enjoy the fruits of my labor. That's literally why.
So go subscribe. Period.
Thank you.
At Giant Eagle, we believe in better. And that includes finding more ways to help you save. Because finding a good deal is everyone's deal. Because every dollar and every moment counts. On sale this season at Giant Eagle, you'll find lower prices on hundreds of favorites, like seedless grapes, ground beef, Giant Eagle American cheese, and more. Giant Eagle, because it matters. Limited time only through September 9, 2026. Prices and participation may vary. See store for details.
Hey, let's talk about something a lot of us deal with, thinning hair or hair loss. If that sounds familiar, CAPS has solutions. Their hair restoration treatments are personalized, designed to strengthen your existing hair, encourage regrowth, and improve scalp health. The providers at CAPS guide you every step of the way with advanced treatments for noticeable, long-lasting results. And when you book your first hair restoration appointment, you'll get a $50 CAPS MedSpa gift card. Book today at experiencecaps.com. CAPS, where confidence begins.
You know what quality feels like. You can see it in the way a fabric moves, recognize it in a flawless fit, and appreciate it in the details that make our styles unique. It's the standard Coldwater Creek has honored for over 40 years, derived from a rich Mountain West heritage and designed for today in styles that are distinctively Coldwater Creek. For a wardrobe you can count on season after season, visit coldwatercreek.com. Shop new arrivals and save 15% on purchases $75 or more with code IHEART.